Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, Average Joe. This is Average Joe. I am straight out of the gate here. I was just looking at my timing that's left, and undoubtedly I did this one other show. I scheduled the show for 15 minutes instead of 30, so I'm gonna probably get I'm gonna start getting a countdown at 15 minutes. And I was trying to schedule this show for remotely on my phone, and I didn't get it done the first time. And somehow or another, the default is 15 minutes, and so. But anyway, we'll get the show through. It'll let us go 30 minutes. So we'll, if I get a little shaken, just overlook me. But anyway, again, welcome to Average Joe. It's December the 2nd. We're going to talk about the U.S. presidents today. First thing I wanted to say, this day in history, this is something I want to try to start remembering to do. This day in history, Ford reveals its Model A. So to the succeeder or the second car that Ford manufactured after the Model T was the Model A. And December the 2nd, I didn't even look to see what year that was, but it had to be 1920. The first Model A was 1928. So unless they released it like September, like they release new model cars now. But anyway, thank you for listening. We are going to talk about U.S. presidents today. I am certainly not an expert, but I do, I did go to school for a few years, and I know a little bit, and so we're going to talk about it together. I want you guys to participate. Give me a call and just, give me your input. The thing that got me thinking about the U.S. presidents is, of course, we lost our 41st president, George Herbert Walker Bush, this week. And so I didn't really want to do a show just about George Bush because I know that there's tons and tons of coverage on his life and on the his funeral and memorial and all that. So, but I do want to honor President Bush, and I think he was a good president, and he had a challenging time in his career. Just a little bit about him. I will talk about him a little bit. He was our 41st president from 1989 to 1993, and he served as the As a member of the Republican Party, he had previously been a U.S. representative, ambassador, and director of Central Intelligence, and during his career in public service, he was also known simply as George Bush. After his eldest son, George W. Bush, became the President of the United States in 2001, he was referred to as George H.W. Bush, Bush 41, or George Bush Sr. A scion of the Bush family, he was born in Milton, Massachusetts, to Prescott Bush and Dorothy Walker Bush. Following the attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, Bush postponed his university studies. He enlisted in the United States Navy on his 18th birthday and became the youngest aviator in the U.S. Navy at the time. He served until September 1945 and then attended Yale University, graduating in 1948. He moved his family to West Texas, where he entered the oil business and became a millionaire by the age of 40 in 1964. I knew he was in the oil business, but I didn't realize he had become so wealthy so quickly. Soon after founding his own oil company, Bush became involved in politics, and he was defeated in his first election for the U.S. Senate in 1964. But he won the election to the House of Representatives from Texas's 7th district in 1966. He was reelected in 1968, but was defeated for the election to Senate again in 1970. And then in 1971, President Richard Nixon appointed Bush as the ambassador to the United Nations, and in 1973, Bush became the chairman of the Republican National Committee. The following year, President Gerald Ford appointed Bush as the chief of the liaison office in China and later made Bush the director of Central Intelligence. Bush ran for president in 1980 and was defeated in the Republican primary by Ronald Reagan, but Ronald Reagan chose him as his running mate in his successful bid for presidency. During his eight-year tenure as vice president, Bush headed task forces on deregulation and the war on drugs. Bush ran a successful campaign in 1988, defeating Democratic opponent Michael Dukakis, becoming the first incumbent vice president in 152 years to be elected president. Foreign policy drove the Bush presidency. Military operations were conducted in Panama and the Persian Gulf. The Berlin Wall fell in 1989 and the Soviet dissolved 2 years later. Bush also signed the North American Free Trade Agreement, which created a trade bloc consisting of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Domestically, Bush reneged on the 1988 campaign, no new taxes, and signed a bill to increase taxes. That one got him. In the wake of a weak recovery from an economic recession and the diminution of foreign policy as a major issue in a post the Cold War political climate, he lost the 1992 presidential election to Democratic Bill Clinton. After leaving office in 1993, Bush was active, often alongside his former opponent Bill Clinton, in humanitarian activities with George W. Bush's victory in the 2000 presidential election. Bush and his son became the second father-son pair to serve as president following John Adams and John Quincy Adams. Bush's second son, Jeb Bush, served as the 43rd governor of Florida and sought the Republican presidential nomination in 2016. And then, of course, Bush died on November 30th at 94 years and 171 days old. He is currently the longest-lived president in American history. So that was, a summary, of his career and his life. And he had an incredible life, to say the least. He didn't sit around and twiddle his thumbs. If you want to call in, we're going to get into just the history of some presidents, some other presidents. The call in is 914-219-0884. Do call in and join us. I'm happy to take your comments, and I'm sure there's a lot of you that know more about the presidents than I do, but we're just talking, we're just having a conversation, so I'd love to hear from you. I probably have a few favorite presidents, and I don't know if I'm going to expound on that. We'll see how the time goes. One thing that I always thought was cool is George Washington, of course, who's the first president. He and I share a birthday, February 22nd. So I was always proud of that. It's like I got the same birthday as George Washington. So George Washington, he was the president from 1789 to 1797, and the short version of that is they actually wanted him to be the king, but he said, no, we're not going to have a king. We're gonna have a democracy. So he had no party affiliation. He was the commander-in-chief during the War of Independence. Number two was John Adams. From 1797 to 1801, he was in the Federalist Party, and he was the founding father who sought peace with France and Britain. Thomas Jefferson. Now, I think everybody, you'd have to live in a cave if you never heard of Thomas Jefferson, and I'm hoping that everybody that's listening to this show has heard of all the presidents, but it's been a long time since I've been in a in a public school or any kind of school, so, you know, it was interesting to read over some of this stuff. But Thomas Jefferson, I guess he, aside from being the third president, he's probably most famous for drafting the Declaration of Independence. He was the president from 1801 to 1809, and he was of the Democratic Republican Party. I'm not sure about that. That I don't know what that means, the Democratic Republican Party, but so I'm assuming it's a little different. If anybody knows that, and I know some of my listeners know what that means, I'd love to hear from you. James Madison, he was the fourth president. He was president from 1809 to 1817, and he was also of the Democratic Republican Party, and he wrote the Bill of Rights and led during the Anglo-American War. Number five, James Monroe. He was president from 1817 to 1825. He was also the Democratic Republican Party. The Monroe Doctrine barred European powers from interfering in U.S. affairs. So that was just kind of what was going on with it during his presidency. Number six, the first son of, or the first son to become a president after John Adams was John Quincy Adams. Number six, he was president from 1825 to 1829. And the information I'm seeing, he was also of the Democratic Republican / National Republican Party. So he was the son of the former president, John Adams, and he attempted to modernize the America's infrastructure. Andrew Jackson. Now, everybody knows, probably, well, they've seen Andrew Jackson because he's on the money. But he was president, number seven, from 1829 to 1837. He was the isolationist who led westward expansion and pushed out American Indians. He really did the Native Americans bad. Trail of Tears. That's an understatement, but we're not going to get into all that. This is not a political show, so I'm not going to comment, and I'm not going to try to be, we're not going to go there. But anyway, I do have, I know I've got a couple of folks on the line here. If you want to speak, I know that a couple of you are not on the internet link and you're just on the phone. So if you want to speak, feel free to just text me and I'll put you on the air. So number eight, Martin Van Buren from 1837 to 1841. He also was a Democrat, and his economic downturn overshadowed his presidency. Not a real popular president, I guess. Number nine was William Henry Harrison from 1841 to 1841, March 4th to April 4th. He was president for a month. He was of the Whig Party. He died 31 days after giving in his inaugural address in freezing temperatures with no coat. So see, when your mom wants you to put your coat on because it's cold outside, you need to listen to her or you'll die. John Tyler, number 10. He was president from, I'm getting the message that the show's going to end, but it's all good. I scheduled it wrong. My apologies. We've still got another 15 minutes or so. John Tyler, number 10. He was the president from 1841 to 1845. Let's see. Okay. And by the way, if you do want to call in, the number is 914-219-0884. I'm just rambling on here and going on trying to manage my my mistakes. I've been doing that my whole life. John Tyler was the Whig Party. He presided over the annexation of Texas. James K. Polk. He was president from 1845. He was number 11 to 1849, and he was a Democrat, and he oversaw the large expansion and opened the U.S. Naval Academy. Zachary Taylor, number 12, was 1849 to 1850. He was also of the Whig Party. He was a slave owner with little political experience, and he died after 16 months. Now, the reference I'm looking at, it almost looks like because he was a slave owner and a little political experience, he just died. So I don't know about all that, but anyway, that's our history. I mean, you know, like it or not, that's just part of our history. Number 13, Millard Fillmore, from 1953. That's a typo. That was a long presidency. He was president for 103 years. Wow. He must have been really tired. It was actually 1853. He was of the Whig Party, and he ordered free states to return runaway slaves to their masters. That's what he was known for, boy. Franklin Pierce, number 14, 1853 to 1857. He was a Democrat, and he was considered, now this is not my opinion, this is just what my reference says, considered one of the worst presidents, sought to expand slave trade. What a guy. If you want to call in, 914, you can interrupt my countdown because, you know, we're just talking about presidents. 914-219-0884. And if you want to email me, the Average Joe email address is averagejoe@carolina.rr.com, and that's Joe without an E. James Buchanan, number 15. He was president from 1857 to 1861. He was a Democrat. He was the only unmarried president. He failed to stop drift to civil war. That's what he's known for. He failed. Abraham Lincoln, number 16. You ever heard of that guy? I think most of us know who he is. If you ever had a $5 bill, you've probably seen him a time or two. 1861, he was number 16. 1861 to 1865, he was a Republican. And in my reference, their greatest, reunited the country and abolished slavery, and then he was assassinated. See, good guys finish last. Can't do nothing. So I got one of my listeners that's trying to call me. Stop it. You should text me. But if you want to talk, I'll let you. Hang on just a minute here. We'll actually let him talk. I'm going to pick up this caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, this is Average Joe.
Welcome to Average Joe.
Name here is Scott. Good to hear from you, man. Yeah, I've been texting.
Hey, Scott.
We have a failure in communication. You have to get...
That's okay. If you don't have anything to say, you can just say bye. But I didn't want to take
the
risk.
All right, well, enjoy the show. Bye. No, man, that was pretty neat, man. I tried to key in right after Jefferson, but you scooped me on Washington. I was just going to say two things I can think of is how difficult a job it must be, and that, again, is an understatement, and how inspirational the typical individual is. It scooped me on Washington, the man who would not be king. I thought that was pretty moving, but he had been there and done that. They
yeah.
wanted to reset, and they did. And it turned out well for us, anyhow.
Yes, sir. I proclaimed in my disclaimer at the beginning of the show, I am certainly not a history expert, but I've tried to, you know, pay attention, you know, now and then. But, George Washington did us right.
Oh, yeah. That was cool. That was a beautiful synopsis of some of my favorites as well. It's pretty cool to hear all that. And quite a few things.
Well, we got more.
Well, roll with it.
Okay.
Also, like the show, man, you sound a little, got a little more edge on you tonight. Sounding good.
Well, I appreciate that. I tell you, when I get, you know, like I said, I scheduled the show wrong again. I'm the producer and director and writer and and voiceover and talent and all that, and then sometimes I mess up. So, you know, hey, that happens.
Well, you're holding it together nicely, I think. Sounds good.
Well, I appreciate it there, Scott. Thanks for calling in.
Anytime, brother.
All right. Have a good one.
Call you next week.
Let's see. Okay. Well, thanks, Scott, for calling in there. So, we got Abraham Lincoln, and I appreciate Scott for his comments there. The number, if anybody else wants to call in, is 914-219-0884. Feel free to call in. And so, number 17, Andrew Johnson. He was president from 1861 to 1865. He was a Democrat, and he was the first to face impeachment, accused of abusing office, but he survived by one Senate vote. Interesting. I knew there was one other president that had been at least an attempt to impeachment, and I could not remember who it was. Number 18, Ulysses Grant. You've probably seen him a time or two. Probably heard of that guy. 1869 to 1877, he was a Republican, and he was a Civil War Union general, not just a Civil War Union general. He was the general, and he was initiator of early civil rights policies. So number 19, Rutherford Hayes, 1877 to 1881, he was a Republican. He restored the reputation of the presidency after rumors of corruption surrounding previous administrations. It's a good thing that never happens anymore, huh? It's a good thing that, you know, everybody's just got a squeaky clean reputation. Feel free to call in, 914-219-0884, because all of our politicians, you know, they're all honest. And this is not a political show. I'm not making comments about anyone in particular, so we won't go there. We're just talking about history. If I throw in a little snarky remark every now and then, it is my show. So, number 20, James Garfield. He was president from 1881 to 1881. March 4th, 1881 to September 19th, 1881. He was a Republican, and unfortunately, he was assassinated after 4 months by a man denied job as the Paris consul. That's pretty bad. I'll learn him. I'll just kill him. He won't give me a job. Number 21, Chester Arthur. He was president from September 19th, 1881 to March 4th, 1885. He was a Republican. He survived a series of corruption scandals to become a success. That never happens anymore either. I don't know what's up with that. You know, used to be politics was kind of lively and flavorful. Number 22, Grover Cleveland. Now this is cool. My great grandfather, his name was Grover Cleveland Thromberg. And he was a part of history too. I think his parents actually had a liking for presidential names because his father's name was George Washington Thromberg. But anyway, Grover Cleveland, number 22, from 1885 to 1889, he was a Democrat, and he was the only president to serve two non-consecutive terms. Good old Grover. Number 23, Benjamin Harrison, 1889 to 1893, he was a Republican. And he was the first to have annual federal spending reach $1 billion. Wow. So 1893. That was right before my grandfather was born. My grandfather was born, I think, in 1895, 1896, somewhere around there. So I'm starting to relate to the time period now. At least I knew somebody that lived back then. Number 24, Grover Cleveland. Did I say Grover Cleveland already? I did, because he was president in non-consecutive terms. I mean, yeah. He was 1893 to 1897, and he helped ease the economic panic left over from Harrison. Oh, man, we've probably heard that in recent history, too. That other guy messed everything up. Now I'm going to fix it for you. Let's see, number 25, William McKinley, from 1897 to 1901. He was a Republican. He was shot by an anarchist and he at a fair, and he died a week later. So, wow, that's terrible. Number 26, Theodore Roosevelt, a.k.a. Teddy Roosevelt, 1901 to 1909. He was a Republican. He was a popular president, and he was the first American to win the Nobel Peace Prize. That's pretty cool. Number 27, William Howard Taft, 1909 to 1913. He was a Republican. And this is funny. They put as a description in my reference here, he was very large. he unfounded rumors, the reason they said that is because there was rumors that he got stuck in the White House bathtub. That's pretty funny. Woodrow Wilson, number 28. He was president from 1913 to 1921. He was a Democrat. He drafted the post-World War I peace plan, and he also won the Nobel Peace Prize. Warren Harding was number 29, 1921 to 1923. He was a Republican. He was mired in scandal and died of a heart attack in office. Calvin Coolidge, 1923 to 1929. He was the 30th president. He was a Republican. He was a major proponent of an unregulated economy. Now, word has it that Calvin Coolidge was the ultimate conservative. And I got this from another source, and maybe that source might call in. I don't know. He tends to sometimes. I won't say who unless he calls in. But Calvin Coolidge apparently made Ronald Reagan look non-conservative. He was the ultimate conservative. Apparently, he even limited the number of pencils that was ordered. He was watching the bottom line. So, you know, I like that. I'm a fiscal conservative. That's the way, you know, it's our tax money. I think we need to be good stewards of it, you know, when you're in charge of other people's money. Number 31, Herbert Hoover, 1929 to 1933. He was a Republican. He failed to stop the Great Depression. Dang it. You don't get a second chance on that. History's history. Number 32, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1933 to 1945. He was a Democrat. He was the wartime president who launched the New Deal and saved the economy. You know, when I think of Roosevelt more, though, I think more of his speech in his, you know, Pearl Harbor days coming up here in 5 days. I think of that speech in him more than anything else. And then just also of, you know, seeing movies and stuff for him, you know, he was in a wheelchair, and he was, you know, but they didn't want people to see him in that way. He could actually stand up if he locked his knees and braces in place, but, you know, quite a man. Probably one of our most famous presidents just because of the way our history went. Harry Truman, number 33, 1945 to 1953. He was also a Democrat. Man, I'm running out of time here. He gave the order to drop the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And if I run out of time, you know, we run out of time. We're just talking about presidents. So if we don't get them all in, then that's okay. We're just going to work with what we got. He was actually, the press, the Chicago Daily Tribune, had actually released a newspaper that Dewey defeated him on the headlines, and that was one thing when they actually made the count. It was an inaccurate news release. I'm sorry, I keep getting distracted here. I better move on. Number 34, Dwight D. Eisenhower, 1953 to 1961, Republican. He started the highway system, and he ended the Korean War with a ceasefire. So all these interstate highways out here, Eisenhower's the one that started it, and the reason he started it was because of the military being able to